Well, we turn in God's Word to the book of Exodus and to chapter 20, where we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. And today we come to the third commandment, which we find in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Names are very important. Your name was one of the first things that was assigned to you at your birth. Every one of us was given a name at our birth. And your name is a fundamental part of your identity. It is one of the first things you learn about someone, their name. And it's one of the first things other people learn about you. Knowing someone's name helps you to shape your perception of who they are. Your own name might also be tied to your family history and cultural heritage, providing a connection to your past and giving you a sense of belonging. Names are essential for communication. They allow us to address people directly and refer to them in conversation and distinguish someone from others. Without names, communication for us would be much more difficult and would be very impersonal. In Old Testament times, names were chosen with great care and great thought, and they often had a prophetic and symbolic significance that reflected a person's character or the circumstances of their life. For example, in Genesis chapter 17, God changed Abram's name to Abraham because Abraham sounds like another Hebrew expression which means father of a multitude, which was a sign of God's covenant promise that Abraham would become the father of a multitude of nations. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which means God contends or one who struggles with God. And Jacob received this new name after wrestling with an angel. In other cases in the Old Testament, names were chosen to reflect the circumstances of a person's birth or life. For example, the name Ishmael, given to Abraham's son with Hagar, means God hears, because God heard Hagar's cries when she was cast out into the wilderness. Not only did many of the Israelites' names reflect their character, the names of their God reflected his character. And the remarkable thing about God is that no one else gave him his name or his names. God's true name is chosen and revealed by God himself. The third commandment is about God's name and how we are to treat his name, how we are to use his name. And so we want to begin our study of this third commandment by considering, first of all, the importance of God's name. The importance of God's name. When God commands us In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word Lord is the translation from the Hebrew word Yahweh, which literally means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. The name speaks of God's existence, his self-sufficiency, and his supreme sovereignty. That's all in his name, Yahweh. We find from the Bible that God's name is tied up with his identity. So, for example, we read in Psalm 111 and verse 9 concerning God, words we've sung, "Holy and awesome is his name." And you say to yourself, well, how can a name be holy and awesome? It's just a name. Well, God's name is holy and awesome because of the person who possesses the name. God himself is holy and awesome. Therefore, his name is also holy and awesome. In Psalm 29 and verse 2, it says, "Ascribe the glory due his name." Again, it is because God is a glorious God that glory is also to be ascribed to his name. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." All these names given to Christ as the Son of God express his very identity, the identity of Christ. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, it says concerning Christ, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Again, these titles ascribed to Christ's name express the identity of Christ himself. Since his name and since God's name is all these things and many more, if we were to take time to look at many more verses, God expects all people to revere his name. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." To hallow God's name is to regard it as holy, to consecrate his name, to set it apart for a sacred purpose, because God himself is holy and set apart from all his creation. So this is the positive aspect of this third commandment. There is great significance and great importance in God's name. By honoring and revering God's name, we honor and revere God himself. And it's the same with Christ. We honor and revere his name. If we honor and revere his name, we honor and revere Christ. However, there's also a negative side to this third commandment. It is written as a negative commandment. It's a prohibition with a warning. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's important that we give attention to this negative aspect of the commandment. And so, moving on from the importance of God's name, we want to consider, secondly, the misuse of God's name. The misuse of God's name. And there are two kinds, two main kinds of misuses of God's name. First of all, there is the misuse by many Orthodox Jews who interpret this commandment more strictly than God ever intended. They refuse to use God's divine name, Yahweh or Jehovah, at all. They will not say it, and they will not write it. They believe it is too sacred to be pronounced in everyday speech, so they use an alternative names or titles for God, such as Adonai, meaning Lord, or Hashem, meaning the name. In Hebrew script, in writing God's name in Hebrew script, Orthodox Jews will use a quill, and after writing his name, the quill is discarded and a new one is used. This practice is based on the belief that the quill used to write God's name, if it's Adonai, has become holy and should not be used for a non-spiritual or secular purpose. Now, the problem with this approach is that it is not in line with what God says about the use of his name. He has nowhere commanded that his name shouldn't be used, only that it shouldn't be misused. God's people were not forbidden to use his name, and they do use his name in both Old and New Testaments. Psalm 105 verse 1 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." The beginning of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name." God allows us to use his name, to say it, to proclaim it. The second misuse of God's name is very much the opposite of not using it at all, and that is to use it in a vain or empty way. The commandment does not say, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God upon your lips," but it does say, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." To take God's name in vain is to use his name carelessly and thoughtlessly and superficially and disrespectfully, as though God didn't really matter or as though he didn't exist at all. Since God's name, his very name, is part of his identity, to use his name carelessly as something with no meaning is profanity. It is to treat what is holy and sacred as common and secular. It is to trample upon the character of God as though he were completely worthless. And we know this is a very common sin in the world today, the taking of God's name in vain. In the Bible, one way God's name was taken in vain was in connection with false prophecy. The prophet, in giving a prophecy, would have uttered the words, "Thus saith the Lord," and then he would have gone on to give his prophecy. Now, when false prophets uttered these same words, "Thus saith the Lord," it was a lie, and therefore it was an abuse of God's holy name. It was taking his name in vain. They were using God's name to advance their own agenda, using his name to deceive and to mislead the people. It was a very serious sin for which there would be consequences. And since Bible times, God's name has been used in a similar sort of way. It has been used by authorities on many an occasion to endorse a particular political agenda or even to wage a war. The Crusades to the Holy Land, endorsed by Pope Urban II in 1095 and lasting two centuries, were in the name of God. It was a terrible misuse of God's name. Those crusades, which were really violent wars, they were costly and they were often ruthless conflicts. More recently, and very relevant to our own history, a cliche we've probably all heard at some time, "For God and Ulster." It has been used to lend legitimacy to a particular political cause and even to justify terrorism and bloodshed. It is a misuse of God's holy name. It implies that God is on the side of a particular political persuasion and that that cause is somehow holy or divine. That is a misuse of God's name. It's to take his name in vain, and it is a dreadful breach of this third commandment. A very common way of taking God's name in vain today is to use his name for emphasis or exclamation in everyday speech. There are people who, upon reading or hearing the most trivial piece of news that surprises them, will exclaim, "Oh my," and they insert our Heavenly Father's name. In social media platforms, quick OMG exclamation mark responses to the latest piece of information, maybe of gossip, has become very much the norm. But it should not be the norm. It is dreadful. It is a dreadful breach of this third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. People do not realize the seriousness of what they are saying, what they are typing. They are misusing God's name purely for emphasis or exclamation. One of the main ways you know someone is not a Christian is when you hear them open their mouths and out comes the taking of God's name in vain. Maybe you didn't expect it, and your immediate conclusion is, this person has no fear of God. They just flippantly break his third commandment. And it's the same with the name of the Lord Jesus. Someone in a fit of rage, what so often their first exclamation, it's the JC version of taking God's name in vain. An uncontrollable, loud and angry outburst invoking the precious name of the Lord Jesus to express their anger. There's no thought that God hears and knows, and that the Lord Jesus hears and knows. No thought that there's something exceedingly sinful in what they are doing, taking God's and the Lord Jesus' name in vain. But it doesn't go unnoticed by God nor the Lord Jesus. Perhaps one of the most heinous sins in relation to this third commandment is the glamorizing of the misuse of God's name. And in that regard, Hollywood has a lot to answer for. Film directors, producers, and scriptwriters appealing to the carnal human nature insert God's name into the actor's script to be taken in vain, all for the purpose of dramatic effect and to make more money. And actors may shrug off such blasphemy as it's just acting, but the words are really and truly coming out of their mouths, and they are accountable to God for such blasphemy. We haven't time to cover all the ways this commandment is broken, but if I can just touch in one more way, which is in a terrible way this command is broken, and that is in a court of law. When someone takes an oath in God's name to speak the truth, but then they proceed to lie, it's what's known as perjury. It's a very blatant act of taking God's name in vain. It's a mark of God's people that while they do use God's name, they do not misuse it. They do not abuse his name. They don't take his name in vain. Maybe you were someone who at an earlier stage in life did take his name in vain, but then God revealed himself to you, and you saw Christ, and Christ revealed himself to you and saved you. God saved you by his grace to you in Christ, and you could never take his name in vain again. That's good. That's really good. And God can forgive anyone who was like that. No matter how many times in the past you might have taken his name in vain, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to forgive you. If you've repented of this sin, and since you've been converted, you've not consciously taken his name in vain, you can be assured that you are forgiven. But for anyone who doesn't repent of this sin, there is a serious warning attached to this commandment. And we want to look at this part of the commandment just now. We've seen thus far from this third commandment that it speaks to us of the importance of God's name, the misuse of God's name. Thirdly, it speaks to us of the consequences of misusing God's name. The consequences of misusing God's name. The commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In other words, the Lord will hold guilty all who take his name in vain. The Lord will punish those who take his name in vain. He will condemn them because taking his name in vain is misusing his name. It is a great sin. It is an attack on God's honor and glory, so that anyone who makes such an attack deserves to be condemned. We read earlier in Leviticus chapter 24 of a man whose mother was an Israelite and whose father was an Egyptian. And this son, during a fight with another Israelite man, blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And afterwards, God himself spoke to Moses about it. And he told Moses to take this man outside the camp and to let all the congregation stone him. In verse 16, the people were given a warning from God: whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. That's how seriously God took this commandment in Old Testament times. Anyone caught breaking this commandment was put to death. In Acts chapter 19, in verses 11 to 16, certain itinerant Jewish exorcists attempted to use the name of the Lord Jesus to exorcise evil spirits out of certain people. They said, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. The evil spirit answered and said in verse 15, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? The evil spirit then leaped on those men, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Why did this happen? Those men did not know Jesus personally, and they wanted to use his name to create a big name for themselves. It was a grave misuse of Jesus' name. And they ought to have been thankful they were not killed. The third commandment in these couple of examples, show us that we are accountable to God, not just for what we do, but also for what we say. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 36 and 37, but I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Some people will be justified because they confessed Jesus as their Savior and Lord while they lived, and they used his name honorably. They had respect for his name. Other people will be condemned because they took the name of Jesus upon their lips as an idle word, as a swear word, so often taking his name in vain. That will be what will condemn them, as well as whatever works they have carried out that were sinful. Now, having looked at all of this, we would be very presumptuous to assume that this third commandment is not one the visible church readily breaks. The church can, and the church at times does, break this third commandment. For example, there is a kind of worship, if it can be called worship, which is far too casual. There is little reverence for or awe of God. Reverence for and awe of his name. Some Christian writers describe it as the trivialization of God. God is like a buddy who sits beside you and talks to you a bit like one of your mates. He's not someone before whom you fall prostrate on the ground with your head, your face in the dirt because of shame and misery over your sin. That is, that first idea of God is an abuse of who he is. It's an abuse of his name. The worshipper with such a view of God does not recognize or acknowledge him as the true God. They do not recognize his true glory in worship. And trivializing God like that is to misuse his name. It is a breach of the third commandment. One way any of us can easily break this commandment is by being careless in our worship. Do your thoughts wander during public prayer? Do your eyes gloss over the Bible passage with your mind thinking about what God is saying, or is your mind elsewhere? When you sing God's praise, is your heart not in tune with your voice? Such worship is careless and insincere and dishonors God's name. The Lord does not hold us guiltless for such worship. While we are in this world and while we have indwelling sin, our worship will never be perfect, but it ought to be sincere and reverent, lest we dishonor God's name. If you know you have broken this commandment, if you know you habitually break it, all is not lost. Seek the grace of God to you in Christ. Ask him to help you see him as you ought to see him, and revere him as you ought to revere him, worship him as you ought to worship him. He is able to forgive you. He is willing to forgive you if you go to him sincerely in prayer and confessing your sin. To summarize what we learn from this third commandment, it speaks to us of the importance of God's name. His name is not just a label. His name is inseparable from his personal identity. God demands that all men revere his name. And to misuse his name is a great profanity, as though God himself were something worthless. So that this is a sin which, if not repented of, will result in the eternal condemnation in hell. So don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless if you do. Amen.